Hi, this is Yvette Francino of Search Software Quality, and I'm here today with Matt Poyser, who is a technical staff member at SocialText and active and passionate member of the QA community. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Yvette. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So today we are going to talk about Selenium, an open source test tool. And Matt, what can you tell us about Selenium and describe the tool for us?
Well, I'll try to keep it high level. So when you have any browser, you have technical elements, and most browsers these days support JavaScript. Right? So Selenium is an entire suite of applications, but it runs inside of the browser in JavaScript, and it can control the browser, and you can give it commands. So, for example, you can say, open www.google.com, look for the text box named search. Type in testing, click submit, expect to see a link for Search Software Quality somewhere on the page.
Okay.
And you could use that. A simple application would be, I'm going to drive the browser, go to Amazon.com, look for books that I expect to be there, go through the checkout process, give it some fake, maybe a real credit card number, then go to PayPal and see that the transaction cleared, go back to Amazon and see that the book is on order, go to my email and see that the book, that I got the email saying the book is going to be delivered. So it's high-level, customer, end-to-end testing of web-based applications, and it's open source, so there's no fee. There's a relative high amount of documentation out on the internet. There's a relatively large amount of support for it, open forums and things like that. And it's a command language that can also be driven in multiple other languages.
So is it a record and playback type of thing, or do you code everything with commands?
Right. So the alternative to that, which most of the older GUI-based tools are, is record playback, where we drive the operating system level events, and then we take pictures and say, it should look like this, it should look like that. And that turns out to be relatively brittle. If, say, they resize the browser window or change the settings of the Windows box, or we test it on the new box, which is Windows 7 instead of Windows XP, and the fonts are a little bit different. Any of those things can mess up a record playback test. So Selenium is what we call keyword-driven, where you type in specifically what to do and specifically what to check for, and those are the only things it does by elements and IDs. The flip side of that, the problem with keyword-driven, of course, is if you don't predict it, and you don't say, look to make sure this is like this, if there's a rendering error, if an icon isn't transparent, if something shows up, it's there, but it's in the wrong place, Selenium's going to have a very hard time finding those type of errors. Human beings are much better at finding those errors.
So is there and the option to do either keyword or record and playback? I was thinking that the IDE allowed you to do the full record playback type of...
The IDE does record. So IDE is a little browser plugin that can record, and you can save, and you can do playback. Now, what you can do is you can watch the tests while they're playing, and then a human being can notice, hey, there's an error there. That doesn't look right, write it down. Right? But a lot of times people use Selenium, they run it overnight, and then you don't get that benefit. So even if you do the playback, it doesn't take the pictures to say this looks different.
Mm-hmm.
The Selenium IE will get you a set of commands, open, click, verify. And mostly what people use that for, what we use that for at SocialText, is we take those commands and plug them into a more robust tool called Selenium RC that is much easier to script and automate and to have run overnight or run in the background, those kinds of things, run on a different machine.
Okay. All right, well, what are some of the other commercial tools on the market that are similar to selenium?
Well, the sort of the big brother tool is called QuickTest Pro. It's a sort of purchase tool into the traditional record playback tool. I understand they've built keyword-driven features into it, so if you wanted to do it as a keyword-driven tool, you can. And its back-end language is Visual Basic. So if you want to do anything more than to take and inspect pictures and just drive the GUI, when you want to start doing looping and things like that, you're going to be coding in that sort of basic-like language. Wattier, I don't know if you've heard of it, it's web acceptance testing in Ruby, is probably the biggest open source competitor to Selenium. There's a couple things about Wattier. It was one of the first open source tools of its kind. It's generally tied to the browser, so you'd have to write a test for Internet Explorer for Wattier, and then another one for Firefox in Firewater, and then have another one if you wanted to drive Opera. I think there's an Opera driver now. And you'd write a full programming language. And so you're actually writing it, and Selenium RC is the same way, where you have an object-oriented code, and you can tell the object what to do. And you can write in a programming language, and the functions you call are the command language. Now, what we do is we write a series of these high-level commands and then abstract them into something like tables that a customer can understand and look at. And they can say, oh, I see you're clicking this, you're clicking that, you're driving the browser. What people typically like to do is they like to say, well, I want to add variables. We do that. But I want to have looping. I want to have decision making. I want to have if statements. And you end up writing a program to test your program. Mm-hmm. And we tend to like to abstract that away at social text, because when you write a program to test your program, and then the program you're testing has changes, your code becomes invalid, and so you're like coding on top of these sinking sand, is the expression that I'm familiar with. There's a couple of different ways to do it. I'd say Wattier is probably the biggest open source competition. And so a lot of people have had a fair amount of success with it.
I think I've heard that pronounced water. Can it be pronounced either way? Or?
I've heard it both ways. I don't know. I'm not the expert.
Okay. All right.
I think the I and the R are capitalized, which is why I do it that way.
Uh-huh. I've always wondered about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so how would someone get started with Selenium?
I think if you go to openqa.org, let me see, openqa.org. Yeah, there's a website that has links at left, and there's a Selenium link, and if you follow that, I think the easiest thing to get started with is Selenium RC. If you have any programming abilities, it'll talk you through. It's got a Perl driver, a Python driver, a Java driver, a Ruby driver. It'll talk you through how to set a server up and go, send a signal for the server to drive a browser to go explore and do some testing. Selenium IDE is also listed there, which is a browser plugin. You do the whole thing inside of your browser and then save files to your hard drive and then run those files the next day. Have a human being watch them. Some people that are not as comfortable with code. If you're not comfortable with code, some people have had a great deal of success with Selenium IDE and just leave it there, and they're happy.
Okay. Any parting advice you want to give to our listeners?
Well, I think when it comes to test automation, it's very easy to say, "Oh, what we should do is we should just take all these test ideas and we should automate them." And if you're really good at generating test ideas, then the automation can be significantly longer than the time it takes to code, if you're really good with test ideas, right? And that's time you could be using coming up with more ideas or maybe shipping the software. So the tough question, I think the challenging question, is how much of this do we automate? What are the tests that we're going to run and run over and over and over again that have the value for us that we think have enough risk that they're going to regress and we're going to want to add them to our suite? We also don't want our suite to take, when you get to more than 12 hours for a suite to run, or you start talking about, well, let's scale up 15 different servers and run them simultaneously. And unless you're Google, what ends up happening is that your developers make commits while you're doing a test run, invalidate the test run, or the thing gets stuck because it's such a big monster. So you want to be really careful, how do we keep that test suite small? And once you do the first introductory exploration of the test automation system, those are the things you're going to want to think about and worry about going forward to get the right set of automated tests.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Thank you very much, Matt, for being with us today.
Sure. My pleasure. Thanks.